Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. The story is sickeningly familiar. Does it really matter whether it occurs in Louisiana, Tennessee, South Carolina, or Aurora, Colorado? Yet another gunman, one who appears to have some combination of mental illness and criminal intent, has gotten a semi-automatic gun and killed a bunch of innocent people. The killer in Lafayette, Louisiana, was known for a lot of his political postings praising Hitler and the KKK and fundamentalist Muslims who have killed in the name of their religion. He loved the Westboro Baptist Church. He hated blacks, gays, Jews, and Israel. He loved the Tea Party. He posted a swastika outside his headquarters. So far, just free speech. But he also was got his wife got a restraining order against him. She hid all her guns, because she was afraid of him. A court declared him so mentally ill he had to be involuntarily committed if he wouldn't go voluntarily. He committed arson. He took a place that he was evicted from. The story just goes on and on and on, and I'll probably tell more throughout the air. The heart of it, though, is that he was still legally able to walk into an Alabama gun shop and buy the gun that he brought into a theater that fortunately wasn't too crowded, and he only killed two people, injured nine others. The question is, should that kind of gun be legal to buy? Or would better gun regulation help prevent this kind of tragedy in the future? My guest is Laura Carno. Now, Laura heard me when I was in Denver, Colorado, at the Western Conservative Summit, debating Katie Pavlich of Fox News. She is a blogger. She's a solid conservative. In fact, she very much opposed a Colorado plan. Excuse me. She supported a Colorado plan to increase the amount of the firepower of magazines, basically gun magazines, so there could be more bullets before you have to reload. They were increasing it from 15 to 30. Ms. Carno supported that, but she felt really there should be no limit on magazine capacity. Anyway, she asked if she could come on my show and discuss these issues. And you know that I firmly believe in discussing, even with people I strongly disagree with, virtually anything. So I want to welcome Laura Carno to the Inside Scoop. Thanks very much for coming on the show.
Mark, thanks so much for having me, Mark. I appreciate it. And I really did appreciate you coming out to the Western Conservative Summit. I don't think we get anywhere when we only speak to people who agree with us. So the respect I have for you starts out very, very high.
Well, on that, we firmly agree. That may be the only thing we agree on today, Laura, but on that, we firmly agree. And I was glad to be in your forum. And of course, now you're in my forum, or I expect most of my listeners will disagree with you, but not all. I do have a share of conservatives, and we'll see who calls in at 888-488-6275. Let me start with this particular killer, and I have a practice of not mentioning their names. I don't want to glorify them. You can do what you want. There's free speech, but I tend not to say their names. We can call them the Lafayette killer or the Columbus, Georgia killer or whatever you want to call them, or just the recent terrorist, the theater terrorist. He apparently was able to legally buy this gun in Alabama. Because even though he was rejected for a concealed carry permit, given his arson and domestic violence charges, he was allowed open carry, where the standards are much lower. And I should say that in my state of Virginia, where I'm about to serve as delegate, that's the law as well. There's more restrictions on concealed carry than open carry. Should this killer have been allowed to buy a gun legally?
You know, I'm not sure what all of the differences in state laws are, but generally speaking, if somebody has a domestic violence conviction and a restraining order, that sounds like the thing that should be triggering the background check. Again, I'm not sure what different states do differently, but hearing that whole list of, you know, arson and all his other different legal run-ins seems like those would be serious enough convictions to cause him to be in that denial list. Not sure why that didn't happen. Again, I'm not comfortable with what they do differently in Louisiana, but you and I may agree on that domestic violence restraining order shouldn't get a gun.
Okay, what happened in his case, and again, I only know what I'm reading in the press as well. He had some 15 or 20 arrests, actually, but most of the time he seemed to have gotten out. Makes me wonder, frankly, if he'd been of a different race and socioeconomic class, whether he would have. But he apparently, when he paid a guy to set fire to an office of a lawyer he didn't like and said it's okay if they kill the lawyer inside, the lawyer apparently dropped charges as long as he got mental help, which he apparently never got. His wife, who hid the guns away, apparently was made so nervous that she dropped the domestic violence complaint because he said he would harm her. He was committed by a judge for a year, but apparently because he chose voluntary commitment rather than follow the second part of the judge's order, which is if you don't voluntarily commit yourself, we're going to forcibly commit you. That was an exception to the rule. Can we just agree generally that people who have committed domestic violence, people who have a long history of mental illness, people who have committed these kinds of crimes, should not be allowed to own a gun in America? Can we agree on that?
Yeah, and when we talk about bad guys with guns and good guys with guns, I don't want bad guys having guns. Now, we know that most bad guys don't get them in the way that this Lafayette shooter got it, going into a gun store and passing a background check. Mostly they get them illegally, straw purchases or buy them on the street. So regardless of whether it's a legal purchase like this or an illegal purchase, I don't want bad guys having guns. Okay. Good guys with guns, I love.
Yeah, the Charleston shooter apparently got his gun also at a gun store, although the Tennessee shooter, the Tennessee terrorist apparently... We don't really know how he got his gun. But you know, as I do, Laura, that if you go to a gun store, they do have to run these background checks. Frankly, I would strengthen the system. It sounds like you would as well, to include guys like the Lafayette killer. But if you go and you want to buy privately, let's say you have a long history of violence. Let's say you're a gang member, you're in the mafia, and you've got a long rap sheet of violence and bank robbery, and just and you're on the terrorist watch list, and you're also been declared mentally ill. We'll just the whole gamut, every bad thing you can think of, and you're an Al Qaeda supporter too. You want to buy a gun in your home state of Colorado or my home state of Virginia, it's really easy to do. You just go online. I'm not going to mention the website because I don't really care to alert people to it, but they could probably figure it out. There are websites. You go there. You say, I want to buy a gun, no questions asked, and you can get a good semi-automatic assault weapon that can be used to kill as many people as you can kill until the police come and shoot you. Can you and I agree that all sales, and not just sales through licensed gun dealers, should be subject to a background check?
I don't agree with that, and here's why. We have a new, in 2013, Colorado passed a bunch of gun control laws. You mentioned one of them that has restricted my right to carry to less than 15 or fewer if I buy a new gun. Included in that package of gun control bills was a background check bill. Now, we already have background checks here. If I go into a gun store, they do the instant check. I'm a good guy. I can walk out with my firearm. I will say, quote unquote, strengthened it to be, because I don't think it makes, it doesn't improve safety, is that if I am going to sell a firearm to my neighbor, I've got an extra and he wants one, and I've known him for 20 years, I can't anymore just sell him my firearm. We have to go down to the gun store. The gun store has to do a background check on him, and we hand over the firearm at the gun store. I don't think that's necessary or helpful. If I knowingly sell it to a terrorist who's going to use it for bad, there's some sort of conspiracy that I could get nailed with, and I should. But just transferring
very hard to prove that. Let's talk about the question that I raised. So
sure.
A guy comes up to you and says, "Hey, Laura, I want to buy a semi-automatic weapon, no questions asked. Sell me that weapon." Okay? Now, you can legally do that in Colorado. You can say, "I'm not going to ask you any questions."
No, we actually can't.
Excuse me. The new law prevents it. You're right.
Correct. In Colorado.
And that's a new law that I support. In Virginia, you can do that. And in many states, United States, you can do that. And frankly, in Colorado, prior to the new law, you could do that. It's not banned by federal law. Should that be okay? Because as long as you don't ask the question, you don't ask, "Are you a terrorist?" You don't have to ask. You don't ask, "Have you been convicted of murder in the past?" You don't have to ask. You don't ask, "Have you ever been involuntarily committed by a judge?" You don't have to ask. You just sell him the weapon. My question for you is, should that be illegal, or should you at least be held civilly liable for not asking questions of a guy who then turns and takes your weapon and goes out to a crowded theater and starts shooting people?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So if we play that out and wave a magic wand and that's the law, it's illegal to do that. Criminals will still do that, which is criminal. That's why they're criminals. And the law won't do any good. What it will do is change the behavior of people like me.
Right. You won't sell a gun to that guy.
Right, exactly. It's not going to change my behavior.
Not going to change your behavior? Let me ask you this. Will you sell a gun to someone who says, "I want a gun, no questions asked"? Would you do that, Laura?
So I wouldn't, and most people like
would not.
Wouldn't.
Okay,
an unknown person.
So why would it bother you to make it illegal if you wouldn't do it, you don't want to do it, you don't think, I assume, that any responsible gun owner should do it? Why can't you and I agree, at least on this? We're going to disagree on other things today, magazines and other things. But why can't you and I at least agree that you should not be able to sell a gun to somebody, no questions asked?
So because it won't do any good. If there is somebody with a criminal mindset, go ahead.
What's the harm? If I think it's going to save a bunch of lives and you don't think it'll make a difference, what's the harm?
Because all it does is puts restrictions, and some of them aren't restrictions that you are really thinking of right now. They're unintended consequences of bad legislation.
Give me the unintended consequence of saying that because you and your neighbor, if you want to sell a gun to your neighbor, I would say you don't have to go down to your local gun store. I'd be fine with you calling the National Instant Background Check yourself. Most calls take an average of 72 seconds. That's a little over a minute.
Correct.
Frankly, I've been on hold for my bank longer than that. The more difficult cases can take up to 3 days. If you don't want to drive down to the gun store, I'd have you make a phone call. What's the harm? You may not know that your neighbor beats his wife. He probably wouldn't share that information with you. He may seem like a nice guy. What's the harm of making that phone call?
Sure, and because of the unintended consequences, let me give you an example on this before we go back to the no questions asked question.
Yeah.
The background check bill that passed here in Colorado in 2013, it was written so that when you transfer a firearm, this sounds super logical to people in the gun control world, when you transfer a firearm to somebody else, you need to do a background check. The way it was written, so badly written, if I was let's say I was an NRA certified firearms instructor, and as part of my class, I teach people how to hand off safely a firearm to one another. So there's this back and forth, hand off safely, back and forth. Each time that gun got passed from the instructor to the student, there was a felony committed.
If they didn't call ahead of time when they registered the students for the class and found out that there was a background check. I tell you, I got to take a break, Laura, but when I come back, what I don't understand is why conservative liberals can't work together. If you don't like the way certain laws are written, we can make a law that says, if you got a class, you simply check at the beginning of the class. You don't have to check before every class. We could make laws that work if those who supported responsible regulation would join with those that love their guns. We'll be right back. I'll give Laura a chance to respond to that. 888-488-MARK if you want to join in. 888-488-6275. Right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now. at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking with Laura Carno about guns and gun safety regulation. I support more of it. She supports less of it. What's interesting is that Laura says that she doesn't want mentally ill people or people who committed violent crimes to have these guns. She, correct me if I'm wrong, Laura, you support background checks when done by licensed gun dealers, but you don't support them when done over the internet. And it just doesn't really make sense to me. If background checks don't work, and by the way, studies show that millions of would-be gun owners are turned away every year. But if you don't think they work at all, why not scrap them? And if you do think they work, why shouldn't they be airtight to protect everyone?
Sure. So, and let me back up to kind of a baseline belief that I have, and hopefully this will set it into some context, whether you agree with me or not. My baseline belief is that I think that I know what's best for my life and that my neighbor knows what's best for his life, and that the government doesn't know better than we do how to run our lives, generally speaking. So when you talk about background checks, and these are, generally speaking, across the country, background checks are in existence, and they should be screening for convicted felons or felons convicted of violent crimes, domestic violence, people with restraining orders.
Right. 60% of guns are sold with that background check. That's correct, and 40% are not.
Right. So generally speaking, I think we agree that the wrong kind of people shouldn't have access to guns.
Right.
But they do. So when we don't have background checks
on 40% of gun sales.
But when we talk about background checks, when we talk about what different states, they talk about the gun show loophole. We don't have that here. But what it does is it makes the good guys jump through hoops, and it doesn't do anything about the criminals. So I think I'm starting with an assumption that bad guys, if we put a bunch of hurdles in place for the bad guy, they're just going to hurdle over them and go get their guns.
So why have any background checks at all? I mean, if background checks don't stop the bad guys and only stop the good guys, why not get rid of all background checks?
Well, I'm fine with them as they are. If we had a different society and we were and our rights were in different places, I think it would be something to be looked at if they weren't catching people. But I don't think that's up for discussion right now. Nobody's talking about it.
Well, I mean, the fact that no one's talking about it, I mean, this is something that millions of people are kept from getting guns every year. We know this. Millions of people fail the background checks every year. So we know that millions of people, millions of felons and mentally ill and deranged human beings are not getting guns right now under the 60% of guns that are sold. And to say, well, you know, why make the system complete for the 40%? I would say, why not? I got to take a break, but I'm going to give you a chance to answer, Laura. When we come back, I also want to know, and I'll ask you the question, give you time to think about it. If we are to trust ourselves and our neighbors completely and have no government regulation, you know, I'd like to drive a tank. I think it'd be really fun to get a tank. Are you okay with me buying it? Or maybe buying some arsenic or some anthrax? That'd be fun to play with. Why can't I just get any weapon of death I want? 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest is blogger Laura Carno, a conservative out of Colorado who heard me at the Western Conservative Summit and wanted to come on my radio show and talk about guns, and I'm very glad to have her on. The one thing we agree on is that we strongly believe in discussing with people we disagree with what laws should be in America, and we both strongly agree on that. Laura, as I understand the conservative argument on guns, it goes something like this. If you kill some people, you're diabolical. You're a horrible human being, and I can't really dispute that. You are a criminal. Well, obviously, murder is a crime. You're a bad guy. And if you're a diabolical criminal, you'll have no trouble getting a gun. You're evil enough, you'll get the gun. I guess I don't think that evil is enough. I think that some people, yeah, are evil and smart enough to get a gun, but I also think you can be evil and dumb. I also think you can be mentally ill and not know how to get a gun. I'm not so sure that the Charleston killer, whose gun was taken away from him by a friend of his when he started talking about shooting black people, I don't know if that friend had kept the gun, if the Charleston shooter would have gotten another gun. I don't know that these killings would have happened. I don't know that every diabolical criminal can easily get a gun, given that millions are turned away at licensed gun dealers. Why not make it harder? I'm not going to say it's impossible. I am going to agree right now we're not going to prevent every diabolical criminal from getting a gun. I agree. But why not make it harder? And if we can't save every life, at least save hundreds of lives.
Well, and I guess we have to ask the question, if we want to reduce guns, the number of guns in the country, or if we want to reduce gun violence, because those are two different questions with two different answers.
I want to reduce gun violence and guns in the hands of what we both agree are the bad guys.
But they're two separate questions, though, because you can have, like we have today, far, far, far more guns in this country and far less crime, far more concealed carry permits and far less crime. But you look at these pockets, like Chicago and D.C., where they have the strictest gun control, some of the stuff that you're talking about, and even more restrictive, and it actually leads to increased crime. Five kids were killed in Chicago this weekend.
How many were killed in Great Britain?
Not unusual.
I mean, they have very strict gun regulations, and they tend to have less than 10. You can count them on two hands, the number of gun murders in a year. I think less than five. Of course, Chicago has the problem that it's near Indiana and Wisconsin. Washington, D.C. is just across the river from Virginia. Unless you agree, and I don't think you will, with metal detectors every time we cross state lines, you know that basically a Chicago regulation is meaningless. But we know that countries that have water around them, Australia, for example, a massive continent, or Great Britain, or even most of Europe, gun crimes are virtually unheard of in most of those places. We have them 10,000 times. So, you know, I don't think your argument about Chicago or D.C. holds much weight.
Well, and I ask you to look a little bit deeper into the gun crime, the illegal gun crime in Australia.
Way down. Ever since in Australia, they confiscated people's guns, which no liberals are arguing for here in the United States, after a mass killing of children several decades ago. And the gun crime levels are way, way down. We are by far the worst in the world. We have 30,000 gun deaths a year in America. That's basically 100 a day, more or less.
But that, you know,
that's incredible.
In Australia, you know what's up big time, hundreds of percent, is home invasions. Because the bad guys know that people don't have firearms at home. And so when you have
I'm fine with mace and pepper spray.
Here's a problem and we're going to implement a solution. When it doesn't go as planned, often, whether it's Australia or here, often what happens is we didn't go far enough, and then you end up with a D.C., you end up with a Chicago, where the crime continues to go through the roof. And
you know what? I'm perfectly fine with saying that if you own a gun in D.C., you're not allowed in. Just keep you out. And if you're a gun owner and you're found in D.C., arrest you then and there, and just don't let them in. That'd be fine. But to me, that's not the best solution. The best solution is to keep the bad guys from getting guns. And I'm just trying to understand why you oppose background checks, universal background checks, for a guy like the Lafayette killer, the Charleston killer, and the Tennessee killer. You oppose that. Let me just get this straight. You believe that all of those people should be able to legally buy guns, no questions asked, over the internet. You support that. Am I right?
Yeah, I don't think that's what I said. We started out talking about how we agreed that a guy with domestic violence, a guy with a restraining order against him,
right,
he should have failed that background check.
Okay, but you agree that that guy can be sold a gun over the internet, no questions asked. You would not have a law that banned that. And I would, and we differ on this.
I didn't say that I wouldn't have a law banning that. I actually don't know that there are all of these, every single online source that does that. I just don't know enough about the online laws to be able to weigh in.
I'll tell you,
that.
It's legal under federal law. Some states prohibit it. I know that the Aurora, Colorado killer had thousands of rounds that he got over the internet. He actually also got all kinds of contraptions and bombs, and I don't remember if it was hand grenades or tripwires. You know, obviously then went into the theater with his 100-bullet drum and shot 70-odd people until, thank God, his drum misfired. But, I mean, you say you don't know. Are you not able to? Can you and I agree that internet sales of guns should be banned? Can we?
No. And here's why. The one
without
Aurora
a background
shooter,
check.
The one Aurora shooter, compared to millions of people like me, I buy my ammo online because it's cheaper.
But you would pass a background check, Laura. I'm not afraid of you. I'm fine with you. You would pass a background check. My problem is people who would not pass background checks.
But here's my point, is this makes good guys like me jump through hoops on fire and not
hoops on fire. No, wait. Now, you consider a 1-minute background check a hoop on fire. Let me tell you something, Laura. Every time I want to drive, every 4 years, I got to go to the DMV and stand in line for hours. In fact, before I was able to drive when I was 16, they made me take a test. I had to get in a car. I had to pass a multiple choice exam. I had to drive around with someone watching me. I had to show that I could handle a car safely. We should get rid of those regulations too, right? Because anyone should be able to drive, and whether you can pass a driving test or not, by your analogy, so right?
I am really glad you brought that up because there's an interesting similarity.
I think it is.
Between gun safety and car safety. So
right.
in high schools, we teach this. We send kids to a driving school. You see their driving school cars mm-hmm. going around all the time. But most high schools, which used to teach gun safety, don't teach gun safety anymore.
Are you okay with requiring someone to pass a gun safety test before they can own a gun?
I'm not in favor of that.
Why not?
Because most of us are law-abiding. Most of us get the training that we know we need. I would never have considered before I was a gun owner not knowing how to do it.
So you'd be okay with someone get behind a wheel of a car then without a license, right? Because most people who get behind the wheel of a car know how to drive. Why go through all this massive government regulation to make sure that we know how to drive before we get behind the wheel of a car? Just let anybody drive. And if they drive wrong, well, you know, they shouldn't. They're bad people.
So you're saying that the farmer who lets his 14-year-old child drive the tractor on the farm is a bad person. I say the farmer...
No, I'm saying that the person who lets his 8-year-old drive his car on the interstate is a bad person.
That's a different story.
Well, but there's a regulation against it. Are you okay with... Here's my thing. You can't be against all government regulation. I don't think you are. Are you?
No, I'm not. I lean libertarian, but not all government regulation is bad government regulation.
Some regulation saves lives, right? I mean, there's a reason why we require people to get a driver's license, and I don't think you oppose that.
I do not oppose teaching people how to drive and making sure that they can drive or making sure that they are safe on the road. However, they are not all safe on the road.
But my question is not whether you oppose teaching people, and I don't oppose teaching people how to be safe with guns. In fact, I support it. My question is, do you support laws that say if you don't know how to drive a car, you can't drive? That's what the law says right now. The law, I think, should also say if you don't know how to handle a gun safely, you shouldn't be able to own a gun. Are you okay with both of those laws?
So what about gun gun deaths are tiny compared to automobile deaths.
Actually, in Virginia, unfortunately, we have more people in my state die by guns each year than by cars each year. I'm sorry to say it just bypassed it this year. The gun deaths keep increasing. The car deaths keep going down. The lines crossed in my state in 2015, I'm sorry to say.
Okay, and not in my world. And when you look at childhood deaths, the difference is even more stark.
But back to my question, you're okay with laws that say you can't legally drive a car unless you've passed a test and have a license. You're okay with those laws, right?
I am fine with those laws being where they are.
Okay, but you're not okay with laws saying you can't.
Where they were.
Yeah, but you're not okay with laws that say you can't legally own a gun until you've passed a test showing you know how to handle a gun safely. And my question is, what's the difference?
Because this is a culture thing. Training people to drive cars has been around forever. It doesn't guarantee that everybody who has passed the test never gets into a wreck, never drives drunk,
no,
and never
doesn't.
Slams their
but
car
it keeps
into
some
a house,
people
right?
keep some people from driving who shouldn't be driving. I'm not going to say we're going to solve all gun violence by better background checks and tests. I'm not claiming that. I'm just saying we'll save some lives. If all we save out of 30,000 deaths in America is 5,000 lives a year, I say that's pretty damn good. That's more than died in September 11th. If it was only 300 lives, I would support the law. Heck, I would support the law if it's one life. What's the big deal?
So, because you're missing the other side of the equation, and that is Carol Bowen in New Jersey as our latest example, who tried for months to get her gun permit, not even a concealed carry permit, a gun permit. And while she was waiting, her ex, against whom she had a restraining order, came and killed her.
With a gun.
And so when you put these restrictions...
Well, now let me ask you this. Why could she get a gun for months?
Because New Jersey laws put people through hoops on fire.
Well, no. Let's talk about the hoops on fire.
The good guys have to jump through hoops, and it doesn't stop the bad guys. It doesn't reduce gun violence.
The federal law says you can get a gun after 3 days. If they can't find out, in fact, that's one of the reasons why the Charleston killer was able to murder 8 people in church, because they couldn't figure out that he was a accused of a felony within 3 days. They found it out within about a week. So rest assured, your Charleston killer got his gun. But I mean, the federal laws say you get one after 3 days. Why not simply make that nationwide?
I'm not sure what happens in New Jersey that has really, really bad gun laws. In my estimation, you have the Shanine Allen case, the Stefan Josie case. You have all kinds of cases.
And
out of
I'm
New
sure
Jersey.
You can give me all kinds of anecdotes, and I could show you studies that show that
sure.
You're between 20 or 40 more times likely, if you have a gun in your home, for that gun to be used against you or a member of your family than against an intruder. But here's the heart of my point. If you and I would work together, Laura, we could make laws that say, all right, I hope I could convince you, because you don't seem to have a problem with background checks for 60% of gun sales, to have background checks for 100% of gun sales. And in return, I will make sure that if you're in an NRA training course, you can do one background check at the beginning of the course. You don't have to do it every single minute you hand a gun to someone. You know, I'll make sure that if there's a domestic violence restraining order, that we confiscate the guns of the person who the order's against and not the person who files the order. I mean, there are reasonable ways we can work together. But if you're going to say, nah, I don't really think people need any training before they own a gun, or I think they do, but the law shouldn't require it, then there's no middle ground. And then you and I keep going in opposite directions and talking past each other.
Yeah, so here's where we agree. We agree that we want gun violence reduced.
Right.
We disagree on how that happens, and there was a Harvard study, a CDC study, a Duke study, all that came to the same conclusion that gun laws don't reduce gun crime. So you and I want the same thing.
I have never seen such a study.
How to get there.
I have seen studies that show consistently that states that have the highest gun control, for example, Hawaii, has the highest gun control in the United States. Unlike Chicago, Hawaii doesn't border Indiana, a gun state. Unlike D.C., it doesn't border Virginia, a gun state. And Hawaii has by far the lowest gun crime in the country because it's surrounded by water and it's got very strict gun regulations. And in fact, the most gun crimes tend to occur the states that have the most gun ownership. So you and I mean, can argue about gun statistics. My question for you is, if you and I agree that bad people shouldn't own guns, then why can't we punish people who give the bad guys guns? You said you wouldn't sell a gun, no questions asked, over the internet. I believe you. I think that's commendable. Why not punish the people who would?
Because here's the problem with that, and I'm glad that we agree on the gun violence issue, but the problem with many of these laws is that it puts so many hurdles in front of good law-abiding gun owners who could be harmed by not being able to get what they need to defend themselves.
The average background check takes 72 seconds. 72 seconds is the national average. Maybe not in New Jersey.
Not everywhere.
Maybe not New Jersey. But can we agree at least on this? The 72-second federal background check, the one that licensed gun dealers have to undergo. Let's just look for something really small. See if I get something really small. That 72-second on average background check, which under the law cannot exceed 3 days and they're not allowed to keep the records, that at least should be applied nationwide to all gun sales.
So let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Could you agree that if that was a national standard,
yep,
that it would never go further than that. It wouldn't become a cooling off period or a waiting period.
Could I guarantee that it wouldn't go further? There's no guarantee for any law that it won't change.
Sure.
I can't
agree. So that's the concern. That's the concern, is that then it becomes a three-day waiting period. Then it becomes
a 10-day
waiting period.
But the point is, you should argue that when it comes. I mean, it seems to me that if you think that is reasonable, I mean, look at car regulation. I think it's reasonable to give someone a test before you drive a car. Could I promise that after supporting that it won't be the case that the government wakes up every morning and requires every single driver to undergo a test before they get in the car to go to work? I can't promise that won't be the law, but I don't support such a law. I mean,
right, and that's my issue as somebody who leans sort of libertarian, is to look at things like that and say, sure, this first step doesn't sound so bad on the surface, but my number one thing is they don't work. They won't reduce gun violence.
But they have.
Statistics show they don't reduce
gun
violence.
But they have.
Again,
look,
we can argue statistics.
In Charleston and Tennessee and Louisiana, the people used assault rifles, semi-automatic weapons, the kind you, every time you pull the trigger, you can shoot someone. The same one used, same kind of weapon used in Aurora, Colorado. Those were banned between 94 and 2004, and gun violence with assault weapons went way down. We have not had any major gun violence with a machine gun in about 70 years since they were banned in the 1930s, and I can't recall the last time anyone was murdered in the United States with a tank. Because it's really hard to get control of a tank. I think these laws work.
And you and I disagree, and I think it's okay.
We do?
That you and I disagree because we're looking at this from very different starting points.
I think statistics are there. I got to take another break. I'm sorry. Folks, if you want to call in and talk with Laura or me, this is your last chance to do so. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. I really want to thank my guest today, Laura Carno. She is a conservative blogger out of Colorado. We've been discussing guns for the better part of an hour. Obviously, we disagree, but the one thing we both agree on is that, we conservatives and liberals need to talk with each other. Laura, I got a couple calls on the line. Not much time. I want to give them a chance to say their piece. Justin from New Mexico, 45 seconds. Go. Line 5.
Basically, the one thing that I wanted to bring up is the fact that you always hear from folks such as Laura that are conservative bloggers that there should be something done, but it's better to do nothing because of the slippery slope argument.
Right.
And I never hear a positive solution that will go in a direction that will affect change.
I think they just want us to accept the dead bodies. I maybe we need to all wear body armor when we go to the theater, Justin. I don't know. Let me get to another caller.
Yeah, well, more guns for everybody.
I guess so, particularly for those school children in Newtown, Connecticut. MA, New Mexico, line 2. What's your point?
Hi, Mark. Great show.
Yes, thank you.
I grew up in Idaho in a house of guns for hunting, so I'm real familiar with responsible gun ownership. And even those guys, my family members, agree that there just has to be some more reform. And I heard her say the quote, in my world, and the quote should be, in our world. We are all affected by this gun violence now and the threats that are out there to throw our children in public places.
And guns cross borders. I'm sorry we're running out of time. I would say this, 74% of NRA members support universal background checks. 90% of all Americans do. Laura, I'm afraid that our time is up. I hope you've enjoyed the debate, and I'd be more than happy to have you back on another day on another topic. We're not going to agree on this, but we both agree that we need to discuss these things agreeably. Thank you for coming on the Inside Scoop. All right, this is Mark Levin. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk about a different shooting, this one in Zimbabwe, of a prize lion and why a dentist in Minnesota is getting in trouble for that. Don't miss Leslie and I talk this out right after these messages.
there. How you doing? Happy hump day. Joining me in this hour, Mark Levine, as you know, former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank, the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees. He hosts his own show, The Inside Scoop, and that takes place 1 hour before my show starts, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, right here on the Leslie Marshall Show Network. Mark, how you doing? Happy hump day. Thank you for joining us, as always.
My pleasure, as always.
You know, I want to talk about this. I was listening to the death of Cecil the Lion, and apparently in Zimbabwe, you know, these hunters out there are killing, like Cecil and other animals that are supposed to be protected. I mean, this just is off the charts, and it would seem the corruption and the disregard for the laws isn't just by the hunters, but you know, also by the system, because two men that were arrested for killing this lion, Cecil the Lion, and by the way, an American dentist, right, has also been accused in this case. There's a lot of anger. We're seeing a lot of stuff online. They were released today by a court in Zimbabwe on only $1,000 bail each. Now, very different, I would imagine, legal system, but talk to us about this.
Well, so this American dentist from Minnesota is a trophy hunter. That's what he does as his hobby. Obviously, his job is being a dentist. And there are pictures of him all over the internet with killed lions and leopards and all manner of, I think there's a rhino or some other big animal, and he proudly kills them and puts them on his wall. And he apparently paid $50,000 to kill this lion, and he kills him with a bow and arrow. And what apparently they did is it is illegal to shoot these lions on national reserves where they are protected. And the lion population, by the way, is way down in Africa, down some 60% in just a decade. I mean, we're really talking about maybe, tens of thousands of lions where there used to be millions. Anyway, they lured the lion off the protected area. Of course, the lion doesn't know when it's crossing a boundary, by putting some dead animal on top of a car and basically letting the scent lure the lion away. And then when it got off the protected game reserve, they shined a light on the lion, and he took out his bow and arrow and shot the lion, which apparently then wasn't killed and limped away for 40 hours in colossal pain, I guess, until they finally found the lion and shot it. Now, the reason why this Cecil the Lion was so important is that he had been tagged by a conservancy group that had been monitoring him for years. He was actually making a lot of money for the game reserve because people wanted to come in and see Cecil the Lion. He was a very beautiful lion with a special black mane. And anyway, now he's dead. And what's fascinating about this is it never would have come to light except someone in America discovered it, posted it on social media, on Twitter, and then people posted 10,000 bad Yelp reviews on his dentist site to show that a lot of people are very angry that he does this kind of thing. And they might just get him to close his dental practice. I'm not sure.
So speak to us about this $1,000 bail, very low amount. Is this typical? Is this the court system in Zimbabwe saying, hey, this isn't a big deal? Because it is a big deal, because technically, if people are going to Zimbabwe for tourism throughout the world, what are the things they're going to do is to see, you know, most likely safari to see the big five, of which lions are numero uno. So this can hurt the economy of Zimbabwe, not to mention just the, you know, God, the moral compass of killing, you know, animals that are declining in population and that are supposed to be protected.
Yeah, and I can't claim to be an expert on Zimbabwe law. I'm pretty good at a lot of legal issues, Leslie, but I never studied Zimbabwe law, so I'll just put that out there to begin with. But Zimbabwe is a pretty poor country, so my guess is $1,000 bail is and may well be a substantial bail over there, maybe the equivalent of $100,000 here. I don't really know. I do know it's a very poor country. I did, though, as you may remember, I was in South Africa just in January, so about 6 months ago, and largely was there to see the big game animals, which, I, like many, many tourists all over the globe, came and I saw lions and I saw hippos and rhinos and elephants, and it was majestic, it was wonderful. And what we're finding is that they actually do better with ecotourists, people like me who don't want to harm the animals, just want to see the animals. We give a lot more money to the economies of these South African nations than the big game hunters that want to kill them. So it seems to me that they have an incentive to keep these animals alive rather than – but this guy, of course, he paid through the nose. He paid $50,000, yeah. And I guess they felt that that was worth one line, or at least the people who did it illegally felt that way.
I don't know, and I'm sure you have, that you read the letter that Walter Palmer issued to his dental patients that was obtained by KSTP-TV in Minneapolis-St. Paul. Are you aware of the letter that he
I'm
put
aware
out?
Of a general apology. The guy says that what he didn't
Well,
know
I can read it to you. It's not that long. To my valued patients, as you may have already heard, I've been in the news over the last few days for reasons that have nothing to do with my profession or the care I provide for you. I want you to know of the situation and my involvement. In addition to spending time with my family, one of my passions outside dentistry is hunting. I've been a lifelong hunter since I was a child growing up in North Dakota. I don't often talk about hunting with my patients because it can be a divisive and emotionally charged topic. I understand and respect that not everyone shares the same views on hunting. In early July, I was in Zimbabwe on a bow hunting trip for big game. I hired several professional guides, and they secured all proper permits. One, let's just stop there. I had heard yesterday by somebody in Zimbabwe they had not.
Well, obviously they've been charged with a crime. So what presumably, if we're to believe this dentist, and by the way, this dentist about 6 years ago got in trouble in America for apparently lying about where he killed a bear, and he was actually charged with a crime. Apparently he got 1 year probation. So, you know, this isn't the first time he's had a questionable hunt. But if we are to believe this man's word, then he was lied to, apparently, by the Zimbabweans because they're being charged mm-hmm. with crime. So clearly,
and honestly, that, even though I think he's scum of the earth, I think, in my opinion, that it could be believable. Because he said,
it could well be.
Right. To my knowledge, everything about this trip was legal and properly handled and conducted. He said, I had no idea that the lion I took was a known local favorite. It was collared and part of the study until the end of the hunt. Right. I relied on the expertise of my local professional guides to ensure a legal hunt. I have not been it doesn't change the fact he wants to kill a lion with a bow and arrow. And to me, it's not a fair
not
fight.
Just a
unless
lion. He's it's got a history. Leopards and, I mean, just a whole...
Protected animals and a declining population. He said, I've not been contacted by authorities in Zimbabwe or in the U.S. about the situation, but will assist them in any inquiries that they may have. Obviously, he has been contacted because he was arrested.
Well, his people were arrested. I don't think the dentist has been arrested.
Because he's back in the United States. Okay, he's back in the United States. Yeah.
He's over in the U.S.
And he goes on, again, I deeply regret that my pursuit of an activity I love, to kill animals, and practice responsibly, I just don't understand responsible death, and legally resulted in the taking of this lion. This was never my intention. No, your intention was to kill a lion and not get so much press about it.
Right.
The immediate interest in this matter, along with a substantial number of comments and calls from people who are angered by the situation and by the practice of hunting in general, has disrupted our business. Good! Sorry. Consequences and ramifications to your damn choices. Teach my kids this every day. And our ability to see our patients for that disruption, I apologize profoundly on this inconvenience and promise you that we will do our best to resume normal operations as soon as possible. We are working to have patients with immediate needs referred to other dentists, and we'll keep you informed of any additional developments. On behalf of all of us at River Bluff Dental, thank you for your support. By the way, folks, that's River Bluff Dental for any of you that do want to give your
I do
opinion.
Feel bad for any other dentist in his office. I should say that because it's not their fault, for what he did. But, there are consequences. I'll tell you one thing that I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a good job of, and that is to give a positive result, and he put up the conservancy that had been protecting Cecil and monitoring Cecil the Lion, the Wildlife Conservation Research Unit, which is WILD, Wild, CRU. Wild Conservation Research Unit. So WILDCRU.org. If people want to give to a group that does a terrific job in helping to protect these endangered species, that's a great way to take this tragedy and make something good out of it.
Let's take some calls. Reggie in Georgia, line one. Reggie, good afternoon. What's your take on this, or do you have a question?
Yeah, happy hump day to you, yourself, Leslie Marshall, and Mark Levine. Well, I mean, I guess... that's a killing of an innocent beloved lion named Cecil. But I guess caring about something like that makes us plain stupid, as Ted Nugent himself says and thinks about us, because, you know, he says that people who care about the murder of a beloved lion named Cecil the Lion are stupid. Now, you know, he's a big game hunter to himself in his own right.
I think the lion should have had a gun. I mean, guns, right?
That's I'm totally I always say that. I don't think hunting's a fair fight unless you arm the animal.
Well, or... or no guns. Let the man try to kill the lion with his bare hands. The lion will have its claws, and let's see who wins.
Right, and it won't be Ted Nugent.
By the way, or give him the bow and arrow. But they are in an. The lion has to be aware. Do you know what I mean? The lion has to see him and know that he's coming for him, because the lion will still win in that situation, most likely. And I say that because this was the element of surprise. That's what hunting is. You're sneaking up on a living, breathing animal, and in this case, one that is protected, and you're murdering them.
And you got people like Ted Nugent, as I said once before, defending the hunt of this lion named Cecil the lion.
Let me go one further. This is one of the things I learned in South Africa when I was down there. In the true wild, okay, lions are the king of the jungle. There's a reason they call them that. They are at the top of the food chain. They don't fear anyone. Other creatures fear the lion, and they avoid them. In cultures where lions are regularly hunted, lions have learned, and mother lions teach their children, their baby lions, to avoid humans, and they're very skittish and they avoid humans. But when you have a game park where tourists like me, and I guess maybe I'm part of the problem, like to see the wild creatures, they get used to having humans around. They drive up real close. The lions don't bother the humans. The humans don't bother the lions. And the lions don't know to fear them. To have a lion who's raised in this environment suddenly fear a human, it's kind of like shooting a dog. You know, a dog that runs home and says, "Hi, how are you? I missed you," and shooting that dog. If a dog loves you and doesn't know to fear you, it's not a fair fight. You know, this isn't like they're going after true lions in the wild. They're going after these protected lions in game parks, which, again, I'm glad they have them. They let people like me see them. But then to go out and shoot those lions is absolutely unfair. The lions don't know to be afraid of humans.
Right. And I guess the only stupid person here is Ted Nugent and all of those who are defending game hunting of lions and tigers and bears and all that stuff.
Isn't it easy to, you know, I mean, really, you know, you feel like you have a bigger penis because you got that big, you know, animal head on the wall, but you don't tell people that it wasn't a fair fight. It really wasn't a hunt. Do you know
what
I mean?
Shooting fish in the barrel shouldn't be fun.
Exactly. Shooting fish in the barrel is absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And you're right. There's just pictures all over with him, with a lion, with a ram, with an elk, and even with a leopard.
Right.
Let's take some more calls. Reggie, thank you for the call. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Alan in New Mexico, line 2.
Hi, Leslie. Long time, first time. I just want to say that it's very easy, and I think the default is to just give into our sudden urges and desires and needs and wants. I think that is why people are overweight. I want that chocolate now, or that cigarette now, or that drink now. And I think people need to realize that there is greater power in restraint and actually making a decision to not give into that urge, as in, I want to kill this lion, I want to be a bigger man. I think it speaks volumes about a person to be, and that, you know, they are a bigger man for choosing not to, for making that decision at that crossroad.
Mark, do you want to weigh in? I agree. That's a very, very good point. I mean, there are things that my kids want to buy at the market that I don't want in my house, because I know if right. I'm irritated, PO'd, or depressed, I'm going to eat all of it. and you're right. We do have we want instant gratification. I mean, you can get prescription drive-through, booze in some states, drive-through, guns in some state, drive-through, as well as food, as we know, every corner. Even coffee you can get a drive-through.
It's very easy to fall to that, and I'm a victim of that also. I am definitely guilty. But
yeah.
I think a greater power exists in choosing not to and having that choice in front of you and being able to say, you know what, I choose not to do this. I can do this. It's very easy to do this. That's the default action. Sure, take a cigarette, have a drink, have another chocolate, kill a lion. But to actually weigh in and think about it and give it some thought is more empowering, and I think it speaks greater volumes about any human who makes that choice.
Mark?
I've been watching on the wildcru.org website these pictures of Cecil the lion, and they're talking about the fact that the next in line in the pride, and this is, you know, part of what lions do, is likely to kill all the other lions so that it can impregnate the females and get its own genetics in there, and so this may have indeed wiped out an entire pride. It's really scary, and it's completely unnecessary. You know,
it is a travesty.
Look, I don't like to hunt. I'm never going to go hunting. But if people go out to hunt and they hunt deer or elk or something where there's millions of them, and it's there's no declining population, you know, and maybe they eat the meat. That's one thing. But to take there are very few lions left, and their population is decreasing tremendously. And yeah, it looks really good on your wall. All right, just buy one. You know, it's probably cheaper just to buy one from another dead lion that was killed 100 years ago. But it's just this is macho. It's like I killed the lion. But you know, again, you know, shooting fish in a barrel. It's you didn't go out in the jungle and kill a lion in the jungle. You know, you went out. They lured him away with food in a jeep. They showed a spotlight on him. The lion didn't know to fear humans, and you shot him. That's a cowardly thing to do. That's not something to be proud of.
All right. Thank you, callers, and thank you, Mark. You know, I love you, buddy, and be sure to listen to Mark's show tomorrow and every weekday, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern, right here, same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you, buddy. Have a great day. Let's go to our break when we come back live from our nation's capital, Talk Radio News Service. By the way, I have an email. I would be looking for a new dentist. David emails, killing a male lion is execution, not hunting. And on Twitter, a lot of great comments. William says, hunting animals is not sport, and I agree. It's not sport. It's not fair. It's disgusting. We'll be back.